Well, amen. Even if they don't realize it, all people need the Lord. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and look with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 10. Joshua, chapter 10. If you can remember back to the last time I taught Wednesday night, we're in the book of Joshua and preaching on the life of Joshua. We studied on the man Joshua, then we got into the book of Joshua, and we find here tonight Joshua continues to lead Israel to possess the promised land of Canaan, God's will for Israel. The land of Canaan does not represent to us heaven. It represents to us the will of God, living in the will of God. That's as we everything about the land of Canaan, when they were there, it represented living in the will of God. And as they was there living in the will of God, there was tremendous blessings and power from Almighty God. And the same way with our lives, living in the will of God is so critically important to each and every one of us. And so we have this to look to here. And so as Joshua was at this particular time, he is looking to defeat the inhabitants of the land. And God is working through Joshua, not only to defeat the inhabitants, but the reason is to judge the inhabitants of Canaan for their ungodly ways. And God is going to judge them, and he's going to give the land of Canaan over to Joshua, Israel, and it will become the land, the holy land, for the children of God to develop and to live in. And so that's what we're at here tonight. Let's look here at Joshua chapter 10 and find the last of the victories, the last of the battles of the south of Canaan. And this is, we're closing out chapter 10, and so we're going to be reading verse 28 down to verse 43. If you would, go ahead and stand with me. We'll read the word of God together tonight. Joshua chapter 10, verse 28. And that day Joshua took Makkedah and smote it with the edge of the sword, and the king thereof, he utterly destroyed them, and all the souls that were therein, he let more none remain. And he did to the king of Makkedah as he did unto the king of Jericho. Then Joshua passed from Makkedah and all Israel with him unto Libna, and fought against Libna. And the Lord delivered it also and the king thereof into the hand of Israel. And he smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein, he let none remain in it, but did unto the king thereof as he did unto the king of Jericho. And Joshua passed from Libna and all Israel with him unto Lachish, and encamped against it and fought against it. And the Lord delivered Lachish into the hand of Israel, which took it on the second day and smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein, according to all that he had done to Libna. Then Horam, king of Gezer, came up to help Lachish, and Joshua smote him and his people until he had left him none remaining. And from Lachish Joshua passed unto Eglon, and all Israel with him, and they encamped again against it and fought against it. They took it on that day and smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein he utterly destroyed that day, according to all that he had done to Lachish. Joshua went up from Eglon and all Israel with him unto Hebron, and they fought against it. And they took it and smote it with the edge of the sword, and the king thereof, and all the cities thereof, and all the souls that were therein. He left none remaining according to all that he had done to Eglon, but destroyed it utterly, and all the souls that were therein. Joshua returned and all Israel with him to Debir, and fought against it. And he took it and the king thereof and all the cities thereof, and they smote them with the edge of the sword and utterly destroyed all the souls that were therein. He left none remaining as he had done to Hebron. So he did to Debir and to the king thereof as he had done and to also to Libna and to her king. Verse 40. So Joshua smote all the country of the hills and of the south, and of the vale, and of the springs, and all their kings, he left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed, as the Lord God of Israel commanded. And Joshua smote them from Kadesh Barnea, even unto Gaza, and all the country of Goshen, even unto Gibeon. And all these kings and their land did Joshua take at one time, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, unto the camp to Gilgal. And let's pray. Father, we come before you tonight. And Lord, as we're studying this Old Testament account of Joshua and the nation of Israel establishing the land that you would give to them, pray that you'd help us to learn of the historical truths, but also of the biblical principles that we need to be able to apply even to our lives and to our task that we have here in this New Testament church age. Pray that you'd empower the preaching and the teaching of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So understand, Old Testament, Israel is going to represent the Almighty Creator God. God has a purpose and a plan for Israel. He raises up Israel. He's going to give them Canaan, the land of promise. There is inhabitants in the land of Canaan, but these are ungodly inhabitants who have rejected God and are living as ungodly lifestyle as you could ever imagine. And so God is going to use Israel to judge the inhabitants of the land. And their judgment is death. They have the land and the people have did that which demanded the sentence of death. And so we find this is what's taken place as why they were to utterly destroy, to get rid of this type of lifestyle and get rid of this kind of sin off of the earth, especially off of the land that God is going to establish as the land for his chosen people, Israel. Now, Joshua would utterly destroy as per God's command. Everything he did was according to God's command. I love what it says in verse 40. So Joshua smote all the country of the hills and of the south and of the vale and the springs and all their kings. He left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed. We might think that a little bit harsh, but this is a judgment of God. As the Lord God of Israel commanded, he's following the commandments of God, Old Testament. So, Old Testament, again, we find that God's will was to establish Israel as his chosen, and what he would look to and what the world would look to as the Holy Land. Holy Land is not Kentucky, amen, even though most Kentuckians feel like it is, but the Holy Land is Israel, the land of Canaan. Israel would be the focus of the world. And can I tell you, even today, the land of Israel is the focus of the world. You're either for or against Israel. That's the way it is. And that's by design. It would be the place, the reason it would be called the Holy Land, it would be the place where Christ would be born. The Almighty Creator God, and think about this, he created the heavens, the earth, everything about humanity, and he had a specific place on planet earth that God would become man and dwell among us. That would have to be the most holy land on planet earth. Not only would it be the place that the Messiah would be born, it would be the place, first of all, established for the nation of Israel to represent to God to the rest of the world and how they would live in the land of Israel, how they would live according to the word of God, the will of God. God's plan was to establish his children, a nation under God in Israel, so that they would represent God to the world. And it would take this, first of all, the judgment of the inhabitants of Canaan. It would take Israel to occupy the land that God would give them, divide it for an inheritance, as that we will see later on. And after it was divided for an inheritance, then to establish the greatest nation on planet earth. We look at Israel today, and we've a lot of times failed to realize Israel used to be at one time the greatest nation on the face of the earth. underneath King David. There was no other armies that could stand against the armies of Israel and King David. That after David, Solomon, there was no other armies of the world that would be able to stand against Solomon and his great army and his great wisdom. There was no other kingdom anywhere that had the wisdom of Solomon. There was no other kingdom anywhere that had the wealth of Solomon. The world looked to Solomon. The world looked to this place of Israel as something special. As it was, it represented God. Wow. He established his chosen in the Holy Land. Not only was Christ born there, Christ will rule and reign the world once again from there. Yeah. Maybe just a little over 7 years. Amen? It won't happen until after 7 years after the rapture. If the rapture took place today, there'd be 7 years tribulation. Christ is going to return. He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. Where is he going to rule? Not from America, but from this very same place that we find God giving to Israel. Jesus Christ will rule and reign as Lord of lords and King of kings. He'll rule in righteousness over the entire world. Wow. Holy place. So God's will, possess it, divide it, promote it to the rest of the world under David and Solomon and some of the kings. Reestablish Israel, because there would be a time when Israel was a nation. We know that he's already reestablished it during the church age. It doesn't have the same power it had, but it's reestablished for future plans. It will be reestablished as it has been during the church age, but then it'll be restored as the focus of the world once again. And the 1,000-year millennial reign. So that's what we know. That's why as we're reading this here, there's significance in what we've just read, even though we just read seemed like the same thing happening over and over and over again. And that's how God has recorded it for us to learn from. I think the key here is chapter 40, once he did this in this southern area, we understand that as the Lord God of Israel commanded. It was God's plan of moving forward. For them to acknowledge God's plan of moving forward, it would take ceaseless effort, focus, and hard labor. A battle was fought in each of these lands. Should never become just repetition. A battle was fought in each of these lands, and there was a purpose for every battle. Every battle was going to be a little bit different. As we read it, though, the plan was the same. The plan was doing it according to the word of God, utterly destroy. Do it exactly the way God said. Now, it might be a little harder to destroy the giants, the Anakins. It might have been a little harder to deal with some of these other nations, these other lands, whatever it might be, but they were focused on doing it God's way, even though it was one after another, after another, after another. A battle was fought in Makkedah. A battle was fought in Libna. A battle was fought in Lachish, Eglon, Hebron, and Derbe. Bible records it, every battle. The Bible reveals to us, Christ revealed to us, that everything that happened in the Old Testament is recorded, written for our admonition. For the church's admonition. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. For the believer's admonition. For us to learn from it. Say, how can we learn from God's people in the Old Testament We're God's people in the New Testament. And God's the same God. The devil's the same devil. See, church work is much the same. Jesus established it. Now, understand the huge difference. Israel went to judge the inhabitants of the land of Canaan, and God had already judged them, and he wanted every one of them dead. Not because God is not compassionate, because they had rejected God and the ways of God, and they had yielded themselves to that which was evil, somewhat like before the flood, when humanity had evil thoughts all the time. And God judged humanity. And only Noah found grace in the eyes of God because he was a righteous man. So the Old Testament shouldn't upset us, shouldn't get us thinking wrong to look back and to see that. But the New Testament, one of the biggest changes here, it is a huge difference. Christianity is not here to judge. Christ will judge, but he's not judging right now. There's going to be a judgment coming, but he said, I didn't come to judge the world. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And if we are going to do the work that Christ has us here to do, we are not here to judge the world. Stop it. We need to call sin, sin. We don't need to condone any kind of sin. We are here to represent Christ. We're here to represent the gospel. We're here to represent true, genuine Christianity. We didn't come to utterly destroy. We came to remove the blinders. Be a light, salt. Let's go back, Matthew chapter 28. I mean, this is the commission. And this is for the entire New Testament church age. It wasn't just for when Christ was walking on the face of the earth. It was a commission that he left for us. And I was blessed to be there at Heartland, the Church Planters Conference, and just to think about what the Lighthouse is able to do in establishing these churches, knowing that they're established to preach and to teach the Bible as we are preaching and teaching the Bible. They're established to go to these areas, not to judge these areas, but they're going to these areas to be a light and to be the salt and to see souls saved and baptized and discipled. That's what we find the Great Commission. It's something that we all know, but we got to put it in context here. And Jesus came and spake unto them as his last message, as his commission. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye. Who's he talking to? He's talking to his church. He's talking to believers. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Don't just be content with your city or your state or your United States of America. God raised this to be able to get us into all the world. Amen. God opened the door for us to go into all the world. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. Not judging them, but teaching them, helping them to turn from their wicked ways and turn to Christ. Teaching them to observe all things and whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Salvation, baptism, discipleship. It's been God's will for the last 2,000 years. Nothing has changed as far as God's work. God's command, the commission to the New Testament church, nothing has changed concerning the scriptures. See, it took them ceaseless effort, focus, and labor. It's going to take the same thing for us today. over in the book of Galatians in chapter 6. Let me just read this to you. In Galatians in chapter 6 and verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing. What is the most important work that we do? The Great Commission. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season. It's been quite a few seasons since Christ left to give us this commission. But in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Sometimes people get bored. Do you think any of the soldiers got bored going into each city? If we looked at serving Christ as if our life was in danger, well, I don't think we'd get bored. I think we would be on the offense and we would be aware of our circumstances and we'd be committed to what we're doing and making sure that we're doing it exactly the way that Christ wants it done, because we need his help, we need his strength, as they needed God's help and they needed God's strength. But some people have gotten out of church, and it's because they haven't been engaged. It's the only reason you get bored. How can you get bored in seeing lives changed? How can you get bored in seeing people get saved and turn away from alcohol and drugs and ungodly lifestyles? Want to come forward in the church and acknowledge that they received Christ as their Savior. They want to see others get saved. They want to get baptized and identify with Jesus Christ publicly. And then they want to be discipled. They want to come out to Sunday school so they can learn more about the Bible and learn more about Christ and learn more about what God's will is for their life. And they want that. They want salvation. They want baptism. They want discipleship. When you continue to see that taking place, you're not going to get bored. You know, the lifeline of the church is new souls, souls being saved. That breeds excitement. Churches that die, they stop doing what they're called to do. They stop focusing on what God has a church here to do, and that is the Great Commission. Even though we've been doing it for 2,000 years, it's still as important today, and possibly more important today than it has ever been. Sometimes people get frustrated. A lot of times churches get sidetracked. Disillusioned, thinking that there's a better way or something else. They focus on other things, thinking that's going to help grow the church. No, what's going to help grow the church is Christ, who promised and revealed that his church. He's going to grow the church. What's going to get the church growing in excitement is doing the work that God called the church to do. That's why this church is still, I think, exciting. That's why there's still a spirit in this church that sometimes you don't sense in other churches. There's no better way. There's nothing more important than what Christ has established. I don't think it ever gets monotonous. Never gets boring. We look back over the 2,000 years of the church, we find that there's been a different set of circumstances with every generation. I mean, we have history that we look back into, and then we have our own personal experiences that we look back on. And every generation, the commission's been the same, but Satan has used different things to hinder the church, even in society, from getting souls saved and baptized and discipled. I really believe that the difference has been technology. And God knew what kind of technology we would have in the 21st century. Matter of fact, we would need the 21st century technology to fulfill the prophecies of the church leading into the rapture. We would need that. And so it's nothing new that we have these technologies, but it has been the technology that has changed things. I think communications and technology, transportation and technology. It used to take months to go anywhere overseas or whatever, and now we can get on a plane and be anywhere just about. We want to be around the world in just hours. We get on the airwaves and we can get a message to anybody we want. Technology changes warfare. Same enemy, but different warfares. I remember as we look back, there's been key issues. And if you're not careful, you get caught up in these. And they were issues at the time because of their associations. The long hair issue on men, on boys. It was an issue. Now, I think some of the preachers might have got carried away on that. And that was every sermon they preach is on men and long hair and all the different things. It's still an issue. I don't think that men ought to wear long hair today. But that's not the main issue today. It's not the main association. That's what the world was associating, the hippie crowd and all the different drug crowd and all that, with that long hair. And so when the person would grow long hair, they would associate themselves with the philosophies of the world. And the church had to stand against the philosophies of the world. The gambling part of it, that used to be way back when. That was one of the major sins, you know, and so they outlawed churches preach against any kind of playing cards because playing cards would associate with the gambling. And you know, many of you know your parents would never let you have a deck of cards. And I'm not saying that you could, that's right or wrong today. You make up your mind on that. But you see, it was an association to the gambling area, and that was a major problem then. The alcohol was a major problem. That's why there were some dry states and wet states, and they had it on Sunday, and some didn't have it on all the different. Throughout the ages, there have been different battles being fought. Same enemy using those battles in different ways to prevent the gospel being spread, souls being saved, disciples being made. Yeah. Today, internet. Wow. Video games. Are they wrong? They can be. If that's what's keeping you from doing the work that Christ has for you to do, if that's keeping you from being an example for Christ, and yeah, it could be. Drugs, social media, modern day philosophies being conveyed through TV, through public schools today, and teachers thinking that they have more of a right to teach your children their philosophies than you have as right as a parent? Who would ever thought we would come to that place? I don't know how much longer we have. I mean, everything's lining up with this COVID coming on the scene. Everything's lining up. The rapture could be any time, but it might not be. And there's going to be more and more battles that we're having to fight, but we can never lose sight of the commission. Because all these battles, all these different things are trying to keep the church from obeying the commission. Everything that was taking place with Israel, you see, all the battles they were fighting, they had to stay on course, and they had to stay focused, and they needed God, and they needed to keep going until the job was done, because this was God's command for them. This was God's purpose for them. God's purpose for us, be the light, be the salt. Let's get souls saved. Take the blinders off. We're not here to judge. We're here to seeking to save that which is lost. That's Christ. And we are to be Christ-like. Yeah. Stick to God's chosen vehicle to get it done. The church. Church has always been the key for some 2,000 years. for getting the work done that God wants done. It's a church. It won't change. Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches. Go back with me, because I'm not going to be much longer here tonight, but I want you to see the second point to this. All these different lands, all these different battles, they just stuck to the battle plan until they were victorious. But in order for it to be victorious, not only did they need to stick to the battle plans, but it would take a combined effort. Something that is repeated in these verses, I want you to see in chapter 10, verse 29. Then Joshua passed from Makkedah and all Israel with him. Not just Joshua, not just a few, chosen few, all Israel with him. Verse 31. Joshua passed from Libnah and all Israel with him unto Lachish. All Israel, united, focused on the same things, understanding the need. All Israel with him. Verse 34. And from Lachish, Joshua passed into Eglon, and all Israel with him. There's a reason that's recorded there and repeated there. And verse 36. And Joshua went up from Eglon, and all Israel with him. Verse 38. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him to Deborah, and fought against it. All Israel with him. It's a blessing to see each one of you here on a Wednesday night. Yeah, praise the Lord for it. And I know we have some that aren't able to be here. I understand that we have many watching live stream right now. Praise God for that. The second best thing from being here, you know, the best thing is to be here. If not, live stream, just make sure you're part of the services. You're getting the spiritual help and food that God wants you to have, strengthening you to be able to accomplish what God has us to accomplish as a church and what God has you to accomplish as an individual, born-again member of this church. But we need all Lighthouse with us. We need all Lighthouse and all the talents and all the spiritual gifts and everything God has given to you, every opportunity that you have to serve God through your church. We need you. We need that. For us to continue to see souls saved, see souls being baptized, saved individuals being baptized. And let me tell you what's key is not, we have to do this to get to the next spot, but discipled. If we are not discipling, the world is. Humanistic philosophies are being accepted as truth and fact. What they're being taught in school that goes opposite the Word of God is being taught and received as being factual when it is not. What has got our country in such a mess that it's in today over the 2 years of dealing with this COVID is not the true science. It is what the philosophy of those who want you to think it's science. And we have bought into it. We need to be a little bit more aware of God and aware of God's will for our lives and aware of the church and what God has for the church and make sure that we're using the wisdom that every one of us can have if we ask for it. So that we will be able to do what God would have us to do individually. And if you're doing what God would have you to do individually, then we will be able to accomplish what God has for us to accomplish as a Lighthouse Baptist Church. But our world is needful of this. And it's God's will. It's God's commission for the church to stay in harmony with God's command and God's leadership. The leadership has not changed in 2,000 years. The Bible, not changed. The church, the true church, has not changed. the pastor of the true church, the staff of the true church, the officers of the church, the membership of the church, working together to accomplish what God has us here to accomplish. 1 Corinthians, and you know the verse very well, but I'm going to close with this. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15 and verse 58. After revealing everything about what we have to look forward to, therefore, my beloved brethren, church, believers, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Do you know what the work of the Lord is? It's not to judge. Old Testament Israel, yeah, they went in to judge the land of Canaan. We're not in that same mode of judgment. We're in the mode of seeking and winning the lost. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain, and you will receive rewards, you will receive blessings, you will walk closer with God as we are doing the work that God has called us to do. What a blessing. If I could have every head bowed tonight. What a blessing. Understand what God has me here to accomplish. I'm focused on furthering the cause of Christ. Whatever the best thing I can do to further the cause of Christ, that's exactly what I have desire to do. Willing, ready, the furthering the cause of Christ. We don't have much more time. I truly don't believe we do. The time we do have, let's take advantage of it. Father, we bow before you tonight. Love you, Lord God. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for Joshua and this testimony that we have of Joshua and the nation of Israel going into and possessing the land of promise, and God, how we can learn biblical principles that we apply to our lives here tonight. Help us to do that. Bless now this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.